Forward Now with Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. You'd think that a prolific silent film actress who threw the biggest LGBTQ plus parties in Hollywood in the 1920s would be more widely known. And yet it seems like nobody's heard of a woman named Alla Nazimova. At least not these days. Well, there is a new one-woman show coming to Theater West that combines video and theater to change that. The play is called Garden of Allah, and here we have the playwright and the sole performer, Romy Nordlinger. Romy, welcome to you. Welcome to our program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Alla Nazimova was, I mean, obviously huge as an entertainer way back when, 100 years ago, but if you ask around on the street today, nobody's ever heard of her. I didn't know who she was.
So far too few people, obviously. Yes.
Who was Alla? What made her such a significant entertainer?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, in a nutshell, she was, her fame was comparable to somebody like a Madonna or a Lady Gaga of her time. Meteoric. She was one of the highest paid film actresses, silent film actresses in Hollywood, rivaling that of Mary Pickford, in which she commanded a salary of $3,000 more, actually. She was also a week. She was earning $13,000 a week in 1916. She had a Broadway theater named after her by the Schuberts. I live in New York City. And if you walk on 39th Street, near the New York Times building, you walk by an Irish pub and a parking lot, you don't even see any kind of plaque that there was a Broadway theater named the Nazimova Theater, because she made so much for the Schuberts in sold-out runs. She helped launch or bring critical acclaim in America to playwrights such as Strindberg, Ibsen, Chekhov. Tennessee Williams was inspired. He said, when I first saw Nazimova perform, she was so shatteringly powerful, I could not stay in my seat. It was then I knew I must become a playwright. So that's my loose Tennessee Williams. I'm going to end this by saying, but she also went on, she became one of the first female writers, directors, and producers in Hollywood. She had her own film company. And yes, her Garden of Alla, 8080 Sunset Boulevard, the end of the line where it all began, was host to one of the most, the wildest and most prolific, not only LGBTQ parties of all time, where the sewing circle was introduced, which was code for an all-women's lesbian gathering, but a host to the literati and the glitterati, and a place of independence and a place where artists could create. Fitzgerald, it's easier to say who didn't check in than who did to the Camelot of Hollywood. And yet her story lies obscured in forgotten history.
The parties notwithstanding that were, you know, obviously frowned upon, I'm sure, at the time, 100 years ago, it was also not a place for women, sadly, at that time, to be in, you know, the director's role, the producer's role, right?
Correct. I was talking to Martin Turnbull about this. He is the founder, with John Ponder, of the Alla Nazimova Society, and he also wrote the hit Garden of Alla novel series. But we were talking about the largesse of that time, kind of like, you know what? We don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. And honestly, what I would give to be at one of those parties or even a fly on the wall, because although women were not, quote, quote, accepted in those roles, there was a little bit of a pioneering spirit going on. There was a lack of any kind of cancel culture, I guess, or political correctness. And there was a little bit of a wildness that we're kind of pendulum swinging back to. So yes, she did have to write her screenplays as in a pseudonym, Peter Winters, direct under the name of her, you could call him her in her lavender marriage to Charles Bryant. You'll see some of her films directed by Charles Bryan, but everyone knew that she ran the show. And yet the dichotomy was that there was sort of a Wild West of independence and, yeah, of liberation. She went too far, though, and in the boys' club, and for that, she was punished greatly.
So. Well, this play, The Garden of Allah, is a hybrid, right, between silent film and theater. Like, she sort of transcended different ways to connect with the masses, and, you know.
It's not just a multimedia show with a bit of video going on. It's an immersive experience. Adam Jesse Burns created a lush sort of atmospheric video that envelops the performer, myself. Nick Timor created this sumptuous musical score that also surrounds me, literally, because he's a genius with sound, and it even goes to the back of the theater. You'll hear different sounds. And the show went through many incarnations, so forgive me if I go off here, meaning I'm talking about an aspect of the show. We had to create the show many times to really find the right way to tell the story.
You actually did this play at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, right?
Exactly, in a very different incarnation. And one thing that we realized is it was kind of like the film and the play were competing against one another. And why is she coming back to tell the story? And when we married, the conceit being that she is coming back to tell the story of her life by directing the film version, really. And the film is an immersive part of her life. And since she was, of course, a director and a producer as well as an actor in film, it made perfect sense. And that's when it all came together. And it became this organism unto itself that just became alive.
It's a lot, Romy Nordlinger. It's a lot. It's a lot. And what a history. What a woman, right?
My God. As you can see, that's just skimming the iceberg.
Right. The show, The Garden of Allah, opens Friday over at Theater West. You can get more details by heading over to our website, kcrw.com/GLA. Romy Nordlinger, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us. Good luck with the show.
Thank you so very much for having me.